Welcome to the Europe Day. Dzień dobry. Well, my previous host yesterday and day before, they tried to teach you something in their language. People know that I can. You cannot trust me to teach you something. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not going to tell who, because I want to cover this person. But once the young missionary came to Poland, and he asked me how to say God loves you in Polish. So I said, szukam żony. And that means I'm looking for a wife. So he was walking on the street, passing out the trucks. And then he realized that something's wrong. So he came to one of our beautiful church member, and he told her, szukam żony. And she looked at him and she said, I'm all yours. So I'm not going to teach you any Polish, because, I want to, before those beautiful speakers will come here to share with you, I want to tell you something about Europe. Greater Grace Church came to Europe first time in 1975. So not many of us was alive back then. But I'm so grateful for this church, because the impact that this church had on Europe and in Poland especially, it's tremendous. I mean, Pastor Schaller with the team from Finland came to Poland for the first time in 79. And they came to Warsaw. That was the communist time still in Poland. And they came to Warsaw, and they came to some, like to this church that was governed by a communist party. And Pastor Schaller just came to Bible school and started preaching. And after this, he took the whole class to the street of Warsaw, to the main square, just to soul winning. And can we have the picture, the first picture? Yep. That's Pastor Schaller. And yes, people look like that back then. And you know what? When I post this picture for social media, one lady that I don't know at all, she wrote it. Yes, I remember this Sunday. Our guest was Tom Schaller. After classes, he went on the street of Warsaw. He took us, he encouraged us to share the gospel with others. Something that was so natural for him, for us, was some like big step of faith. We went full of fear, but God used us. Thanks to Tom for his faith and investment in us. You know, this church make big impact in so many lives that we don't even know. I was participating in some pastors' meeting in Warsaw, and one pastor from different city came to me and he said, are you from this Greater Grace Church? And I said, yes. And he said, you know what? I was back then at this Bible school and I was hearing his message, Tom Schaller's message, and this changed my life. And now I'm pastoring the church and I never forget the words that he was sharing with us. You know, from Warsaw, they went to Krakow. It was interesting because that was 79. And they came to Main Square, and they saw this big platform next to this famous old church in Krakow. And they said, well, what's going on? And they find out that Pope, Jean-Paul II, the Polish Pope, was coming to Poland for the first time, and he was supposed to speak out from this platform. And Pastor Schaller with whole team went to this priest that was governing this church, and he said, we are missionary from Finland, we came here. And he led him go on the stage and preach before Pope. So that was the greatest support. Yeah, well. But to finish the story, just one more thing. Remember, Poland was a communist country, when you know what communist is. But in January 29, 1990, in Warsaw, this big hall that was like big building that was built by communists for the glory of communism, the Communist Party resolved the party, and communism was over. The Iron Curtain fell down. That was January 29, 1 month later. We had a Eurocon in Warsaw. And Pastor Stevens was standing on the same platform, behind the same pulpit that there was like a month before communism was fell down. And he was preaching. And can we have the second picture? That was there's a picture from this time. 400 people came forward to receive Christ. We don't know all of them, but years later, I was a pastoring church in Warsaw, and some lady came to church, and when she found out about it, she said, "I was there. I received Christ back then." And you know what? 2 years ago, I had the privilege to perform her funeral. Now she is with the Lord because of this church. So thank you, Pastor Schaller. Thank you for being faithful and keep the good work. So, okay, first speaker here. Wow, that's a great man of God. That's what I can tell. And I don't know like much about him, but I can make some stories. But he is from... like Greater Grace came to this country in 1981. And he got saved as a teenager. He had 16 years back then. So you can... It was in 1886, so you can count how old is he now, if you're good in math. But that saved his life, and now he's pastoring the church in Nîmes, France. Pastor Jean Cotier.
Good morning. What a joy to be here, to see your faces. I take a picture every year, so bear with me. In 20 years, we will see the picture, maybe. For those who are worried to see me with always the same shirt, it's my conference shirt. So I take it only for conference. So I just want to... I don't have this only shirt at home. Let's see. Open the Bible. In English, you say turn in your Bible. We don't say that in French, but sometimes when I translate, I say turn in your Bible in French, and they don't understand the French people, but you can turn in your Bible in 1 Corinthians. We stay on the verse of the conference. I just want to thank also this place, these people, Pastor Schaller, the team here, the church here. It's like, to us, it's like a glimpse of heaven, fellowship, the word of God, Christ, singing, loving one another, good food. What do you want more as French people? So I'm very thankful about this week. And Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, and just give me words, your words, help me with the English, and bless the people, and help us to hear from you, to see your glory, to be encouraged in our faith, in our walk, in our living today. In your name we pray. Amen. So the verse is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, this is an interesting word. It means that there is a connection between this, what is saying, and what all the chapter is saying. So maybe if you have time today and this week, maybe you can read the 15th chapter of Corinthians, because it's like it's speaking about the resurrection. So it's for that reason, consequently, that it's all the verses before the verse 58. It is a conclusion of what Paul said in this chapter. What did he say? Some people was already changing their belief on resurrection. Because at that time there are some people even in the Jew faith that believe in resurrection, and some other didn't. The Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. So maybe it's the influence of them, I don't know. But like today, when we speak about resurrection, many people in this world, they are laughing at us. Like, you believe in a fairy tale. I mean, this is for kids. This is not. We are human beings. We have a reason, you know. There is no resurrection. We don't see resurrection. Yes, it's normal. It's faith. It's invisible, but it's not because we don't see it that it doesn't exist, isn't it? So already, and they had like some people, and Paul gives the testimony of the people who see Christ resurrected. But few years after the resurrection, already some people just said that there is no resurrection. They were changing. They were moving from their foundation, from their belief, from the gospel. And we are, in fact, we are so prone to change. And maybe today is like it was 2,000 years ago. We are people slave to our emotion. And that's why we change so easily. And that's why maybe the world we are living in is in confusion. Because we have no foundation. And we see that in France with young people. My wife is working at a Christian bookstore. And we see young people coming and open the door and asking for a Bible. Because they don't know where they are, who they are, where they are going, why is life all about. The world doesn't give us. I mean, with their all brain, intelligence, they don't know what is life all about. Paul says that in Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. So this is human being. We change, we move, and in this verse we are called to not move. This is the work of the devil. He is using our flesh, our emotion, our circumstances. This is the spirit of the age, of this world. You can see that in 2 Timothy 4:3. But we, as brethren, we are children of God. We are not belonging anymore to this world. We are part of the family of God. We have been adopted. We have been translated into another kingdom. Colossians 1:13. And the kingdom of the Son. A kingdom of love. Agabetos, this is the beloved brethren. We are loved. We are loved by God unconditionally. This is our foundation. This is why we are here, because we find this love. And this truth, we have to do not be shaken. We have to stand on this truth that circumstances, emotion, relationship, problems in life, maybe we can say, oh, is God loving me? We can question, maybe sometimes. But we have to be steadfast, firm, not moving, not trying to get the love of God, but just believing the love of God that we don't deserve. It's grace, all grace, only grace. It's not because now I did something for God that I deserve more the love of God. No, I have it. I don't have to work for it. The only thing I have to do is to accept grace, the finished work. It is done. We just have believed the gospel to be saved. This is our foundation. If we change our foundation, if we change our belief, now there is no resurrection. Are you crazy or what? This is because there is a resurrection that we believe in Christ. Isn't it? In verse 19, he said, if you believe in Christ just for this, this life, you are the, in French, you are the, how do you say that? A miserable man. You are like, we don't believe in Christ just for this life. We believe in Christ because we are waiting for the other life. Even if we can live here on earth with another mind, another way of living with a treasure in our heart. And this is why we are here. But if there is no other life, it's crazy to believe in Christ. In fact, our faith, Paul says that in verse 12, 14, and 17, our faith is in vain. Because we don't believe in faith is not in the faith. Faith is in God, in the truth. It's not faith in the faith. It's faith in Christ, in the gospel, in the finished work. And the verb here is to be firm. It's an imperative verb. It's not like, oh, if you want, if you have time. No, it's a command. We have to be firm. You have to be careful that we are not going to change our belief. We have been saved by grace, and it is by grace we are saved, and we are going to walk today. So stand firm in what we heard. The gospel is the only power to save us. There is no other word. There is no other name that has been given to us to be saved. There is only one that died for us and paid for our sin, Christ. Isn't it? For the flesh, it is hard. Even impossible to live by faith in this invisible truth. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. That's why we need Christ. We need the presence of God. Christ is the truth. The cross is reality. He did what he said. Listen to me. He did what he said. He went to the cross, he died, and he resurrected. And don't you know that he's going to do what he has promised us? That he will come and pick us up for eternal life with him? Yes. It's what's going to happen, even if we wait for that for 2,000 years. But we are close. Soon, very soon, we are going to see the King. And he will come back and take us with him. There is a heaven. There is a resurrection. And even now we can experiment that. And if we believe that, Paul said that our life, our works, our time on this earth will not be in vain. If we don't believe that, you can build a big house, fancy house, beautiful, very expensive house, but it will be in vain. It's not the work of God in your life. It is your flesh. This is the pride of men. And our faith is not in vain. And our life is not in vain. Don't move from the firm foundation that is Christ. And maybe two things. We have the Word of God, the truth we stand on. Why we open the book all the time? Because this is our foundation. This is not Pastor Schaller's word. This is the word of God. And we are so privileged to have Pastor Schaller too, but this is the word of God that had been taught to us. And we are going to stand firm on that. We are not going to change. And also, God gave us the living word, the body of Christ. That it's not like a beautiful discourse about life and philosophy and ideology. It's very practical. And this is what we live this week together. We love one another. We enjoy to be with one another and to know one another. This year I met a new brother that I didn't know before. Pastor Danish over there. And we had a good connection. Just, I don't know. This is the Lord. This is so edifying. And this is the body of Christ. We did not know each other, but we connected by God's grace. And it's amazing. One thing also to conclude, it's that don't be occupied. The problem, this word that moves us, it's we are so much occupied with self. And we work on self, and we try to please self, and we feed self, and always turning around self. But now we have the body of Christ. And it's not we try to get something from someone. Now we can love because we have been loved. Because we have a foundation. Because we know who we are. Because we have eternal life already. Because we have the cross. And because of the cross, it's again the cross. It's not something we have to fear. It's where we find freedom. Freedom from the slavery of sin that is in us, in our flesh. And we can now, you know what we can do? We can love one another. And very concretely, because oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's easy to say. But if you love someone, you serve him. You give your life down to the body of Christ and you get free. You find freedom. And you know that we are not dreaming a dream. This is the proof that there is love and there is experience of the love that changed our life. And this is, to me, we are not like looking for something in our mind. We hope like, no, this is hope of glory. This is true. It's going to happen. And one day there will be a judgment. There will be a bema seat. And we will be encouraged to see that God has worked in our life and through our life to bless one another, to love one another, to forgive one another because we have been forgiven. And grace and finished work, this is our foundation. God bless you.
Can I ask you, if you're from Europe, can you stand up a second? It's a privilege to serve God with this kind of people. Wow. The second speaker. Wow. You know, if I messed up some dates, forgive me. I have very good memory, but I'm saving for later. Might be needed. The missionary from Greater Grace came to this country in 75. So it's almost 50 years ago. Wow. What happened during those years? You know, and this guy... He is amazing. God had to search for him, like, really deep. And he sent him to Baku. And he got saved in Baku. He went all the way from Finland to Baku to get saved. And because missionary from Greater Grace were in Baku. So it's like everything going back. And in 2009, he started becoming a pastor in Turku. Helsinki, and now he's pastoring two churches, Helsinki and Turku. I thought that it's difficult to pastor the church and work full time, but he's working and pastoring two churches, so he's a hero. So please welcome Pastor Ismo Hapla.
Yeah, I just have to clarify in the beginning, and now my full-time work is a church. So, so yeah, originally I was the troublemaker in Turku, so now I am the double trouble. Yeah. Yeah, last year my wife was here for a little while, and then he had to go back to Finland. Some of you remember that I told that she's now in hospital because she works there. Now she's here. So I had that. Yeah, Hannele is the first generation missionaries. Somehow she was in Baku when I came there. Now we've been married for 24 years. That's good. Yeah, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord. We want to praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you that you are doing miracles every day. Thank you that we can live in your presence, Lord. Lord, we ask you to cover this whole convention, this meeting. Lord, speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. I was given exactly minutes, how much I can preach. Okay. This world is a miracle. You know, it's started from creation. Do we have any other word to describe how God created this world with his word out of nothing? Yeah. Then God told that he will create a man in his image and in his likeness. What is the gold and silver and diamonds that he made man out of? No, he used the dust. God could see his image and our image in the dust. I think we are worthy because of him, not because of dust. And so miracles are kind of strange thing. We have, like in our mind, some understanding what is possible to be done. And what has to happen in the natural world. You know, it's a miracle we are alive. It's a miracle that God is in us. Do you have any other word to describe it? There's nothing natural in it. It is supernatural. You know. I think the miracle of creation started something. And now the miracle of sustaining it, making it work. We are alive. We have water. We have food. But most of all, we have the presence of God with us. Yeah, we read in the Bible great miracles. How did Abraham come? He was living in a most wealthy city of the time, and God called him to go down the line to whatever place he was calling it. He ended up finally coming to what is Israel today. Why did he come? Why did he leave good life, easy life, become a nomad, fighting his way? But God spoke to him. He was made in the image of God the same way that we are. God spoke to him, and he's speaking to us today. We have a miracle-making God. What about Jesus? What happened when he came to the world? We have to kind of remember that Jesus was never born to be Son of God. He was Son of God who was born to be a man. You see how big difference there is. There is a man who's God. Is there anything natural in it? Yes, his humanity. But person who is God and man is absolutely out of our understanding. We have no understanding how it happened. We read from the Bible, angel told Mary and she got pregnant. Is there something natural? No. To Adam. How can one person save the whole human race. Do you have a logical explanation to that? How is it possible? It is a miracle. We needed Jesus, God and man. There is no way that we, with the sinful nature, that we can live a perfect life. And the Lamb of God must be blameless. Yeah, man was made to be innocent in the paradise. Yeah, that's fantastic. But we blew it. There's no way how any of us, anybody ever lived. Not Abraham, not Moses, not Joseph, nobody can give a salvation for the humankind. But the miracle man, we can read many miracles in the Bible. So, depending how you count, for 35, 40 miracles made by Jesus. We can see God's miracles in our lives. You know, I did not have any desire to go to Baku, Azerbaijan, in 1997. And I had decided that I will not go. You hear me? I'm not going. And then I realized that, whoa, I'm in Baku now. Have no idea how it happened. But there I was. And things started to happen. I didn't have a desire to spend weekends in bars, So the missionaries asked me, would you like to go to the mountains on weekend for a humanitarian project? The thing is that they didn't have a car, but I had. Yeah. So I said, yeah, I'll be there. And then we were driving the mountain roads, and they asked, we just got the new tape from Baltimore. Can we play it? So I started to hear Pastor Stevens to preach, Pastor Schaller, Pastor Juha from Helsinki. But the big thing for me is that these people didn't have any money or resources or anything, but they had a great joy in what they are doing. And I thought that I want that joy. I want something that is way beyond me. It took still quite a many months. But because I had the car, I gave the ride to Pastor Schaller when he came and took him to another place to preach, and I was listening first time in my life, real preaching. And God just took me. Yeah. And here I am. Twenty-five years later, the double trouble in Finland. Yeah, I just want to take verse from Isaiah 43. In verse 18 it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" God is doing a new thing. We can't see it until it's really obvious. And yeah, we are living in a miracle world. With the miracles right next to us, we can't see it. But God is saying, forget about the past. Go forward. I'm doing a new thing. I'm creating every day. We can live it in a miracle. We are part of the miracle. We are in it. And the miracle of God's presence is in us. Yeah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We are so thankful that we can praise you and we can glorify your name and we can proclaim it and we can be your testimony. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just bless our time today. Amen.
Wow, the next speaker. I have to be careful what I'm going to say about him. Because he seems to be the meekest person on the earth. It's like Moses. But he has a black belt in a martial arts. So I have to be careful. I mean, okay. Pastor Tony Cooper, he was born in England. He's a very good friend of Pastor Alistair. Actually, God used Pastor Alistair's family to get to him. But he got saved when he was in his 20s. And then he moved to Switzerland. And he had a very good job there. Like, can you imagine? In Switzerland. Very good job. Yeah. But he quit this job. To go to Bible school here. He came here in 2016. And he spent 1 year here. And then he moved back to Switzerland to pastor the church in Geneva. Pastor Tony Cooper.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Schaller. Thank you, Church in Baltimore. It is amazing to be here. Wow. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. You're the glory. You're our glory and the lifter of our heads. You're our shield. We will fear nothing, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. Glory to your name. Amen. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Conference theme. Wow, some great messages we've heard. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. For a very short time this morning, I would like to talk about a man who had a heart that was steadfast, as in Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. Eleazar, the son of Dodo, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 12, 13, and 14. Here we have a man, and we probably know the story, but let's give it quickly for context. He's one of the 37 mighty men named by David. He remembers these men during his last words before he's going to die. And he remembers Eleazar and what he lived with him. He's a man that was in front of an army of Philistines. David was there. The place was called Pazadamin, boundary of blood. And here is a man, and David and the two of them stand there. And what happens before an army of Philistines in a field of barley? The Israelite soldiers flee. So they're left, the two of them, standing there. And Eleazar stands with David. And they fight. They stand their ground. What happens after that? The Lord gives a great victory. So I've given you the context. And now I'm going to give you some points. So the first point is Eleazar means God is my helper. God helps. His father's name is Dodo, loving. So here we have a man whose identity is in love. Here is a man who knows that God will always help him. We can say the same about ourselves, can't we? We know that God is our helper. He stands at my right hand, and I will not be moved. Amen. He stands at my right hand. So here's a man standing there. And I ask the question, I've looked at this passage many times. You look at it, you say, that's the story, but there's more. I think if we look in the progressive revelation of Scripture, we see that such a hero of faith probably lived many things before he came to this point. It means he walked by faith all the days of his life and he trusted the Lord. And we can say the same. We can say that if we're going to go through battles, it's because you fight small battles every day and you stand on him in faith and you do not move. And this is our life. So he stands there and he's looking. And here is a man who is immovable in his spirit. Because he's immovable in his spirit, in the inner man, he can stand physically solid and he does not move. The next point, when the others flee, it must have been very intimidating for him. Can you imagine an army of Philistines equipped with swords, helmets, shields. They are ready to fight. The tension, the intimidation, maybe the fear. I'm going to die here. I'm going to die in this field. But you know what? I'm going to give it to God. I cannot do this on my own. Who is sufficient for these things? But he knows that Christ is sufficient for everything. I'm not fleeing, he says. The others can flee if they wish. I'm not turning back. I'm not running. The next thing we can say is, when David and Eleazar stand in the field, they're in the best and the safest place. In the geographical and operational will of God, we are in the strongest, the safest place, and the Lord will watch over us. I am convinced, almost 20 years later, after being in Switzerland, and times when I wanted to leave, that the best place for me was and is where God has called me. He called me not just to Switzerland, he called me to Geneva, and he called me to the Greater Grace Church in Geneva, and I didn't know why. And I know that's where I'm called, and that's where I'm staying until God calls me and my wife, if in the will of God he calls me. But I'm staying put. His church stands on level ground, and you are here years and years later, and you're a blessing to us in our affiliated ministries. Thank you. Next point. Two men on their own facing an army. And this came to me this morning. I didn't understand. There's an army surrounding them. What do? They position themselves in the middle of the field. This means this. David and Eleazar knew each other very well. They worked together as a team. There's only two of them, but there's the enemy surrounding them. It must mean this. They knew how to fight back to back without hitting each other. And they knew how to protect each other. And when you work on a team in spiritual warfare, you have people to your left and your right who can help you. You're not fighting against people. It's unity. You're fighting with them. And you're standing your ground. And because you know you have solid people with integrity next to you, you won't fear because you know they're there for you. Spirit-filled men and women of God. He knows this in Psalm 3. That though there are 10,000 that rise up against me, I will not fear. He said, in this psalm I can lay down and sleep and I can rise because the Lord sustains me. And this is the same for Eleazar. This is the same for David, and this is the same for us. My Lord watches over and covers me. And the last thing I'm going to say is this. When the battle is won and the Philistines are dead, the other people come back, the Israelite soldiers, to collect the booty. That's one thing. And they're perhaps celebrating that victory. But I know this, it says that a great deliverance was given, and it was the Lord's victory. It was not David, it was not Eleazar. I think that these two men went home. We're alive. Thank you. That is a miracle, Lord. We are alive. And grace to you. Thank you. All praise to you, Lord. You sustained, you protected us, you started this, and you finished it well. And we walked by faith, and it was all down to you. So these men, tired, would go home. And maybe people said, so what happened? And maybe they could say, God was with us. God is with us. Who can be against us? This is why we're immovable. God bless you.
Let's go over it, what we heard, okay? Message number one, Pastor Cartier, and that was Galatians 1. I marvel you are so soon removed from the grace. All right, so what a great, great thought that is. We could be moved from grace. And that can't happen. We have to be strong in grace, know what grace is. I feel the enemy doesn't like grace. What does he like? He likes the law. He likes judging. When Adam and Eve left the garden, they left the garden because of sin. And then their world was under a curse. And I kind of feel in my heart that the devil is like, aha, yeah, yeah, like you are nobodies. You are nothing. You have sinned. You are down. I am so judging and accusing them day and night, right? So that's the world. The world is very happy to judge us. But God is the God of all grace, and that's the opposite. He doesn't judge, he gives grace. Remember Jesus said, I came not into the world to judge the world, but to save it, right? He dies on the cross. That's grace, right? And then Paul said in that portion, I'm marveling that you are so soon removed from grace. So that means there's something natural in our hearts about leaving grace. It means I leave the garden and I'm like really judged. I'm judged by the world. I'm judging myself. I judge other people. I'm very easily that way. So we must labor in our heart to understand grace, grow in grace, give grace, relate to grace, receive grace, rejoice in grace. That's a word. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:1. That's a good message. It was so good listening to these men. You guys, man, that was good. All of it, so good. Very good. All right, so be strong in grace. Read about grace. Think about grace. Look for grace. Give out grace. Be strong in grace. The devil hates that. And I think that's one reason he hates the greater grace message. He doesn't like greater grace. He doesn't like the message of grace. Because he doesn't have any, he has no authority when you take, and a believer is wrapped up in grace. We have authority. Pastor Tony said, we stand in the field because we're able to stand because God is for us. God is our helper. We have grace. God is with us. We're able to stand in the battle, in the warfare. Isn't that good? Okay, take a minute. Talk to each other for a minute because you're falling asleep. Almost done. Almost done. We're almost finished, but go ahead. Work. Say something about grace to your neighbor just for a minute. Grace, the answer.
Really? I was crying. It's amazing. You didn't speak, did you? You did the MC. Yeah. Pastor. Wow, Pastor.
Okay, here's a short lesson that came to my mind from Ephesians 5. You like to talk, right? You want to keep talking? You need another minute? Okay, all right. Do you know where in the scripture says walk circumspectly, and then it says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Have you thought about what that means? Like to redeem the time. I know you have. But here's a short, simple picture. Here's a man, and he's walking. And so he takes, this is 3 days, let's say, 3 days of living. But he doesn't live in the spirit. He doesn't live in the spirit during those 3 days. So what happens to that time? What happens to the 3 days when he lives in his flesh? He loses it. The 3 days are lost. He lost it. Is there any treasure in heaven from the 3 days? Is there any value in those 3 days in a sense that God is saying, redeem the time? Redeem the time. How do you redeem the time 3 days by walking in the Spirit? What happens when you walk in the Spirit for 3 days? Those days are yours. Those are days I have. Those are days recorded. Those are days of value. Those are days that are precious. Those are days that may be kind of uneventful in one hand, but they're not. They have value. They have value because you loved. You loved people for 3 days or 3 months or 3 years. How your life has value, you redeem the time. But you can't redeem the time, use the time to the glory of God without walking in grace and in faith and walking in the Spirit and living in truth and living in love. That's the grace of God. That's amazing, isn't it? And I mean, Pastor Ismo, I mean, I don't want to bring up your past, but I think it's so edifying to know that he lived maybe 40 years or something, or 40 years in the world as an engineer and a manager for a construction company working in Baku. What about those years that he lived as an unbeliever or lived in the flesh, right? Where's the time? But then after, what happened? The grace of God, right? The grace of God, the life of faith, and then for decades, redeeming the time. And what has his life produced? What has your life produced as a housewife, as a, let's say, a teenager, a servant, someone just sitting in the church? I just sit there, but I'm alive. I have a heart. I have faith. I have the Spirit of God. Pastor Ismo said, it's incredible the world was created. It's incredible that we're made out of dust. It's incredible that God lives in us. It's incredible that God redeems the time. It's incredible that our lives have such value. And we have not yet seen what we shall be. But when we see him, we will be like him. We'll be like him. Wow. What a great week. Thank you, Jesus.